Well, y'all can see this morning we're starting a new series. For those of y'all who were looking forward to another romp through Revelation, we are moving Revelation to Sunday night once we're done with Romans. I really feel like the where we were at in Revelation was a good stopping point for Sunday morning. What's left, I think, would be better for Sunday night because y'all can ask questions, we can do handouts, we can talk about different views. For the next, I don't know how long, we are going to be in the Sermon on the Mount. So that's Matthew's chapter 5 through 7. And I've titled this Life in the Kingdom because the whole Sermon on the Mount, that's Jesus preaching to his disciples or teaching his disciples in Matthew's 5 through 7, are about him explaining to them what it means to be citizens of the kingdom of heaven. That's really the theme of those three chapters. You see, the Jewish people during that time period had a lot of misconceptions about what the kingdom of God was going to be when it came, who the Messiah and what he was going to do would be when he came. And Jesus is correcting all that on the Sermon on the Mount. I think in the same way, we can have a misconception about what Jesus is supposed to do for our lives. And I believe the Sermon on the Mount corrects that for us. And so let me just throw out a few things. People during that time period, they thought that the Messiah was coming, the Christ would come, and he would solve their problems. They would be better off because he would overthrow the government. So he'd get rid of all the oppression they had to deal with. They would have better lives. They would have wealth because the Jewish people would rule the world. So he promised them riches. Sickness and disease would be gone with this Messiah coming. And so they would be free of all sickness and death. That's what they were expecting when the Messiah came. What Jesus is telling them is the kingdom that he is bringing. Now, one day he will bring a kingdom where all those things will be true. Death will be wiped away. Disease will be gone. There'll be a new heaven and a new earth. There'll be no more oppression. And we will have eternal life with him forever. But what he needed to tell the disciples is the kingdom that he was bringing in his first coming and would finalize or bring in full in his second coming was a heavenly kingdom. And what he calls the citizens of this kingdom to live life like is a lot more radical than most people are willing to accept. And so this morning, we're going to start in what are called the Beatitudes, the Blesseds. That's a fancy word for the Blesseds. Most of you probably have heard those if you've been in church for any considerable amount of time. We're going to just focus on one verse this morning. I know that says verses 1 through 5. We're actually going to be stopping at 3 this morning, and 3 is really our focal point this morning. So if you're not there yet, it'll be on the screen behind me. But I'm going to be reading from Matthew chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. If you would, please stand for the reading of God's Word. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." If you would bow with me. Lord Jesus, this morning I ask that you would fill me with your spirit, that I would only speak by your truth and by your power. Prepare us to hear from you. Move in us this morning. I ask that we would leave this place blessed. And I ask it all in your name, Lord Jesus. We love you. Amen. You may be seated. So we're just going to be landing on this verse. There are a few things I need to explain about this passage before we dive into that verse. And that's why we're only doing that verse this morning. And the other reason is this thing under the tablecloth here that we'll get to in a minute. So I'm not doing a magic trick, just so you know. But I think it'll be a good illustration of what we're going to be talking about this morning. So if you would go ahead and throw up the next slide. Because this is what you need to know about these blesseds that maybe you didn't know before. As I've said before, chapters 5 through 7 describe what life is supposed to look like in the kingdom of heaven. Being a follower of Jesus, if you put faith in Him, you are now a citizen of heaven. Now, heaven's not here yet. It will come down. And on the new heaven, new earth, heavenly Jerusalem will be on the earth, and you and I will live there as literal, physical citizens of the kingdom. But right now, it's not. But if you put faith in Jesus, you're a citizen of that kingdom. So now you're supposed to live like it. So the Beatitudes tell us how we become citizens of this kingdom. And specifically the first two. The first one we're going to be looking at this morning does. And all of them in full tell us how we are to be as citizens of the kingdom. So that's how we're characterized. So what we're going to be looking at is the poor in spirit this morning. And that's the two things that you're going to learn from the poor in spirit. The poor in spirit tells us how we are to become citizens of heaven. Because you'll notice in that verse, blessed are the poor in spirit, because for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Sorry, I've been looking at 3 or 4 translations. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't say anybody else's. It doesn't say, and they too shall receive the kingdom of heaven. It's only the poor in spirit that receive the kingdom of heaven. So if you're not the poor in spirit, you're not a citizen of heaven. That's what's being implied here. So in order for us to even understand what it means, like how am I sure that I'm a citizen of heaven? You need to know what poor in spirit means, and we'll get to that here in a little bit. But also, for those of you who know, I am a citizen of heaven, you're confident of that. You need to be reminded as citizens of heaven, we are poor in spirit. This is how we're to be. So my prayer for you this morning is that you know that if you're not, you become a citizen of heaven this morning. And for those of you who are, you would remember who you are and you would be. Live as a citizen of heaven, a citizen of the kingdom. So let's look at the few words here that we need to understand what it means to be blessed is the poor in spirit. So put up the next slide. Well, I'm sorry. There's a little bit more. Each of these characteristics, we'll get into them over the next few weeks. The blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. All the way down, they're all related. They're inseparable. So each one of these things, especially poor in spirit, are not based on your spiritual giftings. They're not based on how you're wired. They're inseparable. Either you are or you're not. It's as simple as that. And the second thing you need to know, and we'll get into that here with this particular one we're looking at, each one of these blesseds are diametrically opposed to society's wisdom for life. The things that are said here in this passage are the exact opposite of what culture and common sense tell you you ought to live life like. And to emphasize that a little bit more, they do not come naturally. There's nothing here in these blessings that is part of your natural makeup. Every one of them requires something supernatural, which is why we start with this first one. So, blessed. Blessed means to be full of joy, favored by God, satisfied with God's favor. So another way to say it would be joyful. Joyful are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit, I think the best way to sum it up, I think this guy nailed it dead on the head. Nailed the nail dead on the head in the way that he summarized this. This one, poor in spirit, is really about being empty spiritually. You may or may not know who he is. Martin Lloyd-Jones said this about this particular beatitude. Being poor in spirit is about being empty. Everything else listed here in the blessings is about being full of something. Full of hunger, full of mourning, full of meekness. But blessed are the poor in spirit is about being empty. And here's why that matters. Go ahead and throw up the next slide. The world teaches you and I that we're to be self-confident, that we're to be self-reliant, we're to be true to ourselves, we're to do what's right in our own eyes, we are to just do what works for us. That's what we're full of. That's what we're naturally wired to do. Every one of us. Whether the world has told us this or not, this is what we're naturally wired to do. We're looking out for what we get out of it, what's best for us. To be a citizen of the kingdom, though, we're to empty ourselves. That's what poor in spirit means. And to do that, we have to do this to be filled and to be blessed. We have to do this to be in the kingdom of heaven. To inherit the kingdom of heaven, we have to be empty. So this is where I'm going with this. So hopefully I don't make a mess. You'll see why here in a second. All right. Here on this podium that I have is a glass full of this red liquid. This is every one of us. This is everyone who is born into this world. We're glass that's full. Like I said, the world teaches us this, and we learn this. They just reinforce what we feel. The world, it's not that the world teaches us something completely foreign and pushes it on good people. The world just reinforces what we all feel. So that's why when we hear it, it's like, well, of course, you know. We gravitate towards it because we already naturally feel this way. We live our lives filled with living for self, doing what's right in our own eyes, doing what we want to do, looking out for how it affects us, what we like, what we prefer, what our preference is. That's how we live life, every one of us. And as long as we are full of this, this is what this red liquid represents, we can't be filled with anything else. And this is what this picture is. This picture, at least for the moment, represents God and everything He wants to pour out on us. He wants to pour into your life, into mine, the inheritance of the kingdom. He wants to give us right relationship with Him. He wants to give us comfort. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us the earth, a new heaven, a new earth. He wants to bless us richly. All these things we read on the right-hand side of these blessings, when you read through them. That's what God has here in this picture. The problem is, as long as we're full, He can't pour anything in there. See, a lot of us think, we have this misconception that being a Christian, because that's what being a citizen of heaven is, citizen of the kingdom. It's about being a believer, being a Christian. A lot of us think that that just comes naturally. Well, I was just born into this. You know, I grew up in church or just went all the time. I do this, I do that. You notice the eyes there? The truth is that unless we're empty, we can't be a Christian. Because we're so full of ourselves. We can't just, a lot of people think Christianity is just about adding a little bit on the outside to what we are already. Well, if I just, you know, if I just go down and do the right steps, then I'm a Christian. I can kind of tack that on to everything I'm about, and then I'll go about living life as I do. Living life, doing what I want to do, setting my goals, achieving what I want to achieve in life. I just want to make sure that after this life is over, me and God are good. That isn't Christianity. There's no room to add anything else to your life if you're full of yourself. This passage tells us that if we are to inherit the kingdom, if we are to everything else after this, the blessings, that first we have to empty ourselves. God can pour things into my life. I can be transformed by Him. I can be changed. I can be made one of His children. But only if I'm empty. So this is about being and becoming. So my first question, have you become this? Has there ever been a point in your life where you emptied yourself so that you can be a citizen of the kingdom? What I mean is, have you given your, that's giving everything to Jesus. It's not about just accepting a gift and adding that on top of a full glass. It's what most people want. It means that me and God are good, but I can do everything else the way I want. That's not saving faith. Saving faith is saying, I realize as long as my glass is full, I'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I'll never be right with God. I'll never inherit the earth. I'll never be blessed by God. I'll never be His own. God, I'm sorry that I've been full of myself. And I empty myself so that everything that I am is yours, and I want you to fill my life now. Have you done that? Because that's how you begin this life in the kingdom. Without this, without being empty, you can't begin this life. But also, it's about being who you are. If you've done this at some point in your life, you realize, that's me. Now, this is where my analogy breaks down a little bit. So this is no longer representing God. This is representing something else. So as Christians, I think we can say, well, you know, there was a point in my life where I did that. And I think over time, though, we read passages like this that have to do with giving our lives to Jesus or submitting to Him, and we think that was a one-time event. The problem is when you're empty and you're not filling yourself up daily with the Lord, over time, little by little, well, you know, I can set my own goals. I can, you know, I do this for the Lord on Sunday. I give Him a little bit of time, so, you know, I can make time for these things over here that, and just live, let live a little bit. It's not that big of a deal. I know that God's called me to do this, but I'm a pretty good person. I mean, come on. I can't be perfect. And gradually, we fill ourselves up with self. You can't live the life in the kingdom as a Christian unless you are continually pouring yourself out for God. This is not about emptying yourself one time. The life in the kingdom is about emptying yourself daily. Coming to faith, you do this the first time, but that's not the last time. You're to do this every day. This is to become a pattern of who you are, is that every day in the morning you say, God, I know I have things that I want to accomplish today. I have the goals I have set. I have preferences that I have for what I want to do with my life, but the truth is my life is not my own. It's yours. And so, fill me up. Fill me up. Is this you this morning? For those of you who know where you stand with God, you've accepted Christ into your life, you know that He died for you, He paid for you being full of yourself, paid the penalty for you, so that you're forgiven. He rose again, proving that He was who He said He was and that He did what He said He would do. Are you emptying yourself? Is this a pattern of who you are? Or is this an event you can point back to and that's really all you can do? If you want to live the life in the kingdom, if you want to be used by God, if you want to be blessed richly, which we'll get into over the next few weeks, you have to empty yourself. That means that when it comes to what you're going to do with your time, guess what? It's not your time. It's God's time. If it's your time, then you just are filling back up the cup again with you. It means that it's not about what you do with your money. It's not your money. If it is, you're filling this cup back up again. It's not about what you're doing with your church. Guess what? Not your church. Jesus' church. Otherwise, you're filling this cup up again. It's not about what you're doing with your marriage or your relationships or your dating relationships or your kids. Because if you're saying those things and thinking those things, you're just filling this cup back up again with you. Amen. When you empty yourself, you're giving it all to Jesus. Every aspect of who you are, every aspect of what you have, every aspect of what you're going to do with your life from this day forward. My prayer for you this morning is that you would empty yourself before God and present yourself as an empty vessel so that you would be blessed, so that you would have joy. Because the truth is, when you're full of yourself, most of the time, there may be moments where you just are having fun, but the people that we run into that are the most bitter, and sometimes they're in church, that are not joyful at all, is because they've spent their lives filling themselves up with something other than God, and it's been self. Till we have an empty cup, we cannot be satisfied in the Lord. We cannot be joyful regardless of circumstance and situation. We're not going to have unshakable joy. During our time of invitation this morning, I want you to ask God, what am I full of? Has there been a point where I've emptied myself before you and asked you into my life, given you everything, and become a citizen of heaven? If not, you can do that down front this morning. You can do that where you're at this morning. If you do that where you're at this morning, do me a favor. There's a little tear out in the bulletin. Let us know, so that we can pray for you, so that we can encourage you, we can get you resources. But that's what that's there for. You can make a little note on there, put your a contact number or an email address there, and you can drop, you can set that in the offering plate up here after the service, and it'll get back to me. I want you to make sure that you left this morning knowing whether or not you are a citizen of the kingdom. And two, I want you to ask yourself, what am I, if you know where you stand with Jesus, you know you've asked him into your life, you know you're a citizen of heaven, and that you ought to be living life in the kingdom, my question for you is, are you empty? Or are you full of yourself? As long as you're full of yourself, God can't pour anything into you. You can't live any of the things we're going to talk about over the next few weeks. So what I'd ask you to do this morning is repent. Empty yourself today. Because that's the only way you're going to be able to live life in the kingdom and be truly blessed. If you would stand, I'm going to pray over y'all. We're going to have a time of invitation. And you respond as the Lord leads. Lord Jesus, thank you for your word and revealing to us what it means to live life in the kingdom, what it means to become a citizen of the kingdom. I pray this morning, if there's anyone here who is not sure about whether or not they're in the kingdom or not, I pray this morning that they would leave this place being confident that they're in your kingdom. I ask that you would convict us of areas in our lives where we are not emptying ourselves before you. Convict us of the things that we are filling ourselves up with that really are just more of self. We just have really good excuses that really aren't good excuses when they are told to you. I ask this morning you would empty us. Empty us as a individuals and empty us as a church so that we would be filled by you and used by you in a mighty and powerful way for your glory and for your kingdom. I ask all of these things in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen.